Welcome to the Construct Talks podcast with me, Stuart Wallace. I've over 9 years in recruiting construction freelancers onto Europe's most advanced construction sites. Today, I'm speaking to Dennis O'Sullivan, Associate Director of EH&S. We discuss sustainability in construction and how things can improve in future. Let's get into it. Dennis, thanks for joining us, pal.
Yeah, not a problem.
Do you want to just start by sort of giving us a short introduction to yourself, how you got into construction, where you're at now?
Yeah, sure. Name is Dennis O'Sullivan. I'm the Associate Director for the rather long-winded title of Environmental Health, Safety and Sustainability with Leo Lynch. I've been in around health and safety for just 20-odd years. From as most of us tend to do, or most safety people tend to do, we tend to, pardon the pun, fall into it by accident. My background isn't in construction, although I would have gone to a technical school, technical college. My background is actually in the security and facilities management field, and then moved over into construction. Having come out of working with the likes of eBay through G4S and what have you, and fulfilling the role in there for a while. So my background isn't purely construction. However, I have an understanding of being in construction spaces. And I think one of the key ones from years of working in the security, waste management and facilities management spaces is you tend to risk assess lots of different industries and lots of different locations. Yeah. So it kind of gives you a very rounded approach to stuff as opposed to the one area. And what you do tend to find is that skill set moves itself across fairly easily into different industries.
I think obviously you've done really well for yourself, Dennis. From where you started to where you are now today. And obviously I followed your career for before you was obviously with Lynch's. What do you think is, because look, you won't mind me saying this, but you don't find the average person going from security into construction into a role that where you are today. So what do you think the difference has been? Like, how have you, why have you managed to get and, go up the ladder in construction and use them transferable skills? What's been the differentiator?
None of us really like talking about ourselves, I think, in that third person kind of space.
Yeah.
I think for myself, I moved, like I'm not from Dublin originally, however, I've worked most of my career up here. In fact, nearly all of us moved up here at 22. And I think you learn to sink or swim very fast and you learn to adapt and adapt your environment and, learn the skills you need to progress yourself and to ensure that you remain employable. So I would have moved up here around 1998 and, it was a very different time. You're starting to come into the whole Celtic Tiger space and large construction booms and large project booms. So there's plenty of work up here, and then you landed yourself in the recession here, as we did with a global recession, and that drop off in construction probably towards the mid 2000s, where construction wasn't seen as an industry to be in, whereas now you're back into that boom again, where you have a lot of blue chip clients here, you have that investment in both data center, advanced technology, pharmaceuticals, and healthcare. So, and not just here, and you see it in the UK and you see it in Europe as well. And, yeah. I think for myself, to answer your question in kind of a long-winded way, I think I kind of see myself as a type of person who can adapt and move into those industries where I see progression for myself. And I learned very quickly in a young age that, at a young age, from managing and supervising diverse individuals in a pure security field to begin with, that you have to deal with the human being in front of you. And if you want to get the most out of the human being, you have to understand what makes them tick and what makes them work. So you learn from your mistakes, and ultimately you become the leader rather than the manager. it's very easy to be the manager. It's a lot more difficult to be the leader. And to be a leader and to bring those people along that journey with you, be it either a company or be it either a team of individuals, you have to understand that individual. You have to understand who fits where in that model and what gives you that holistic team and what makes all those wheels turn. And again, that goes from a small team of safety advisors to an entire company, because we're made up of, you know, it's a sum of its parts, and you know, everyone has that space to fit into, and it's finding and understanding that.
Makes sense. So in your opinion, Dennis, what is one of the most pressing matters in construction right now across the board?
I think construction and across all industries at the minute, from our clients down, is the whole area of corporate sustainability and how that sustainability piece builds in. You know, and it's evolving from just the environmental piece into that overall holistic sustainability piece. And with the CSRD guidelines coming down from Europe, so the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directives coming down for 2025, it's putting a very dramatic, very quick focus onto the area and onto that sector for us all. Because it's not a case of this will come into play in 2025. It's reporting on 2024's figures in 25. And, you know, it's that affects us all, from clients, from government bodies to clients, down to ourselves directly, because obviously if they're reporting, they're going to be feeding the information from us. So it's getting ahead of that curve now and making sure that we future proof ourselves, and we have the right people and the right understanding of what we need to do to get that in place. And while, you know, people hear sustainability, they think the flowers and the trees and the waste management. It's a hell of a lot more than that.
Well, I was going to say, this is perfect timing. In your opinion, what is sustainability for the listeners? What is sustainability? And more specifically, what is sustainability in construction?
So, you know, if you take it from its grassroots, so it is the waste management and it is the materials, the reduction in carbon, right up to, you know, for the likes of us, where we'd have folks traveling a good bit, how do we offset that carbon from both flights and from the vehicles we use on the road to move our material, to the carbon in the for our clients, the high carbon we're using in steel that you know that's going up onto sites, and how do we offset that, right down to the holistic approach for sustainability, which is overall health and well-being of your staff. It's, you know, your social responsibility piece of that whole CSR element. You know, that holistic approach to, you know, how do we look after our staff? How do we look after our subcontractors? How do we get our subcontractors along the journey? You know, it's both the health and well-being. How do we become good neighbors? How do we become good members of our community? And how that all feeds into that package. So they all form pillars of that overall corporate social responsibility and sustainability piece. So it's not just the waste, although that is important and that is a key part and element of it, but it's how those other elements fit in together as well. And what can we do to offset?
With the sustainability side of things, what are you doing right now? Because I know it kind of comes from, you know, like designing, constructing, operating the whole, you know, the overall basically business in construction, right? And it's about doing things more efficiently. How are you guys sort of currently doing it right now? And have you seen sort of certain businesses doing it really well? That's something to shout about.
I think we're all fairly new on the program. We're all learning as we go. The key piece to begin with, as I say, is what we're all getting a handle on, getting a handle on very well, is the maintenance of our waste streams and how we're offsetting off of those waste streams and segregating more, but also dealing with our suppliers. For instance, if we're getting material in for a large farm or a multinational and they're providing materials to us, how are they packaging that coming into us? How can we limit down the amount of that packaging that's coming in, so it offsets on the back end, so it reduces down our waste stream, but also manages into their waste streams for them as well. You know, the the use of off-site manufacturing as well, where you're not into the same degree of stick building, so you're reducing down that danger to people on site, number one. But number two, you're then not involved in the same amount of mutes, same amount of vehicles on site, that it's manufactured in a controlled environment where you're controlling the product, you're controlling the material, and the install then is a lot quicker on site, but you have a lot less hours involved in it also.
So are you literally getting, is somebody literally looking at it from the start of when they, where this material is, you know, manufactured to pretty much all the way to being installed into a new project and everything in between? And that's basically, you're almost putting a microscope over every area and seeing how can you make this area more efficient, right? Or more sustainable.
So it is. It leads into the quality piece as well, and the whole lead and bream elements. So it is from as you say, cradle to grave. How can we reduce an offset from the beginning, from the manufacture of the material? Where's that material coming from? If we're talking about steel manufacture, is there options? Have we a better, lower carbon? Might be slightly higher cost, but if we lower carbon offering that we can put in front of a client to say, this will work the same, it will offset some of your carbon, however it'll cost X, and to get and have those decisions at the start. So when you're at that development and planning stage, and you're at that materials planning stage all the way through. And likewise, it's working with your suppliers then, even around the packaging. How is this stuff manufactured? How are you shipping it to us? How are we shipping it then once we've done our offsite, how are we then moving that from here, from A to B? What methodology are we using? How is that offsetting? How are we packaging that from the A to B and again then into the install?
And how you're on specific projects, do you have is there a sustainability target to be reached on some of these sites? Like, is it being driven by the client sort of down?
We're seeing more and more of it, and we see it more and more in tenders now, where it's becoming a key issue and key topic at, you know, from tender stage in, and where clients are looking at this now themselves. Because again, they're having to report out, so they're taking a keener interest. Not in all cases, and where it isn't there, it's up to us as responsible contractors to have those conversations up front as well and say, look, here's how we intend to operate and how we intend to provide you with a more sustainable product and to reduce down those your emissions and also to hit your targets and your goals.
And you've obviously mentioned stuff around how you guys are tackling it. What does the future look like, do you think, in the next few years? Like you said, you mentioned it's a fairly new thing to construction, mm-hmm. right? What does the future look like? Do you think, throwing it out there, but do you think there's certain companies winning business through being more sustainable now? Do you think that's how it'll go? Do you think that it's like, is it going to be something where you clients will not allow you to go and work on their projects unless you are, you know, your carbon score is X amount, whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is, and it's already in place. You'll see if it's with a lot of the green construction initiatives out there, a lot of the gold standard main clients, the likes of your Microsofts, the likes of your Intels, they're signed up to and hitting corporate sustainability goals, and it's up to the contractors to bring themselves along that journey. And if not, as you say, quite simply, they will not be winning the work. And there will be, you know, those contractors that are on site are being held to a very onerous standard, and rightly so. And I think it will become and already is becoming a key element of the tendering process for all work scopes out there, and is only going to become more stringent as it goes along. I think for the likes of ourselves and a lot of companies out there, we at the start of this year, recognizing that this is becoming more and more of a key topic, we hired and recruited an environmental sustainability specialist specifically to look after this element for us and to show us where we need to be going forward, to identify with a gap analysis, I should say, tell us where we need to be going forward and putting the right tools and processes in place to achieve that. Because at the minute there's, you know, there's any number of companies out there who will sell you a carbon tracker or will sell you a sustainability tracker and sell you elements, but it's getting the right fix for the right approach, the right fix for the company to allow us to evolve and track that as we're going. Because I think, again, a lot of what we're doing, you know, in the health and well-being space, in the biodiversity and inclusion space, in the holistic approach to our both our employees and our recruitment processes and everything else, the environmental initiatives we're in, the health initiatives, everything else, we have them there, but it's how do you measure that and how do you get that on paper in the concise manner that can also go in for both your reporting but also go into your tendering and making sure that we're seen as that responsible neighbor and seen as that responsible contractor that can deliver within that sustainable space.
Couple of questions just on, you said you hired in somebody specialist, right, to do this job. I suppose, what sort of background does X person have in case other companies are looking to hire in, say, that sort of person? And sort of the second part question would be, how much of an impact has said person made by having like that individual just purely in that role?
So firstly, we started looking at this last year. I joined Lynch's in June of last year, so just coming up in 12 months here now, from another large mechanical electrical subcontractor. And one of the first things I identified, and again, because it was starting to come up and creep into tenders more and more at the back end of last year, was, okay, you know, the sustainability piece, there's a gap there. I have a certain amount of knowledge, but not enough to say, you know, I'm an expert in this field, because while everybody pretty much playing in the health and safety field has environmental tacked onto their title, ultimately it's very basic knowledge and that element, health and safety wise, yes, absolutely. The environmental piece would be very much around waste streams and management of that. So the key to us was get the right person in there and that right understanding in place. But did we know what that looked like at the time? Not 100%. And it was really through the recruitment process and the interview process that we kind of evolved and developed how we felt the role was going to look, and shortlisted it down very quickly to one or two candidates. And, you know, you know yourself in the recruitment field, it's casting that net wide and not getting very focused on, has this person construction experience? Has this person X or Y? It's seeing if they've got a more diverse and broader brushstroke of experience that they can bring to the table. So the lady that we finally or eventually settled on, she's a lady in her mid-20s who's extremely passionate about the environmental and sustainability arena, is articulate but extremely adaptable as well. So because that was a key element for me as well, because you don't want someone coming into this area, especially when it's as greenfield as it is from a sustainability standpoint, and running a mile. You want somebody who's able to kind of go, yeah, I'm up for a challenge and I'm up to get this to where it needs to be. And somebody who's got that helicopter overview kind of way of thinking, that they can see three steps ahead of ourselves and see what that roadmap looks like and what that game plan looks like. And for the first year, you know, for me, again, as with all of my team, it's setting clear, concise goals for them that are achievable within that first 12-month period to get us on the road and get us in the right step. So, you know, there's key KPIs and metrics.
It's very much a new space as well, isn't it, Dennis? So
you need
somebody that is very agile, because it's going to change as things go on. So you can't have you're completely right. I think bringing in somebody that's got the energy to move and navigate how the role will be.
And she's come out of She was working originally on carbon offset targets, so, you know, working with companies to point them in the right direction to get carbon credits. So she's very much in that space and has an understanding of that space, which is very beneficial then when you're looking from a starting point to be able to say, right, that, you know, we can at least get that piece in place. And again, somebody with the ability to, and again, because it's such a new space that you don't have to micromanage, that's very, very, as you say, very agile, very able to take that ball and run with it, really, and come to you with not just the issues from a gap analysis, but a list of solutions, you know, or potential solutions. And we were very lucky with the individual that we got, that she's fitting all those boxes and taking all those boxes for us.
And what would you say, if you could just name one thing, what's the biggest thing impacting construction at the moment from a sustainability point of view? The biggest thing, the one thing that you could say, we need to change that?
That's a difficult one to answer at the moment.
If I was to say throw it in there.
Yeah, I figured as much. I would say probably I'm stumped. I can't answer that one off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
No worries at all. Is there, out of the different areas, so if I rephrase it, the different areas where, okay, you're trying to impact sustainability, what would you say is the most important, or the one that we can impact the most right now?
Waste management, I would say, and offset of carbon costs. So if we get those waste streams right and we get that cradle to grave right, that would be a good starting place. The rest we're already doing elements of, and it's just pulling them in together. But I think getting better at that, but that has to go back to, again, where this material is manufactured, how it's packaged, and getting those conversations going with our supply chain ahead of time. So while we've had, traditionally you'll have your pre-start meetings with your subcontractors around labor costs, around material costs per se, around the financial elements, safety elements and safety stats. It's pulling in that environment, the environmental piece now, that sustainability piece, and getting those agreements in place up front. So we're having those discussions at an earlier stage.
Dennis, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, mate. I'm sure you'll be back on about another topic in the near future, but I really appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks very much, Stuart.